Hello, this is Mark Richter with another episode of Linux for the Layman. Want to feel safe, secure, and capable when using your computer? This is for you if you want to succeed and know you can handle your computer tasks with ease. Welcome back to another episode of Linux for the Layman. This is episode 29. Today, I'm going to do a little more detail on the command line, things that I've run into recently or that I'm sure you may if you use it at all, that might make it a little bit more mysterious. However, in general, there's nothing mysterious about the command line. Structurally, to use it, it's fairly simple. You open a terminal window. It brings up your default shell. You type in a command with options and parameters and hit enter, and you're on your way. Now that was a loaded statement. You open a terminal window. If you don't know what that means, if you're on a Linux computer, it doesn't really matter which distribution you're on. Click on the menu button. In Xubuntu, it looks like a mouse. In Ubuntu, I forget what it looks like. If you haven't done anything to customize your installation, chances are the panel's at the top and the menu button is on the left side. I just remembered what it is in Ubuntu. By default in Ubuntu, there is no menu button. There's an activity button. And when you click on that, it shows you what activities you can engage in. Personally, I do not like the Ubuntu graphical interface. It's one of the reasons I use Xubuntu. For those of you who are coming from a Windows environment, it is very similar to Windows in the way it behaves, except, as I pointed out before, the panel is at the top instead of the bottom. That's a trivial change. You click on the panel and drag it down to the bottom. That's all it takes. In the start menu somewhere, there will be a terminal application. In fact, in Xubuntu menu, the terminal application is in the left column. There are two columns. The left column is applications and the right column is categories of applications. In the left column, the first one is file manager. The second one is terminal emulator. And there's a help button. Mine is probably more sparse than what you might see after a fresh installation, because typically there's a web browser and other activities that you can perform. I got rid of those because I don't do them from the menu button. In fact, I rarely use the menu button. Most of my applications I have set up to be keystroke activated. And I mentioned this last time. One of the things about the XFCE interface, which is the Windows interface for Xubuntu, is that you can set up keystroke shortcuts for applications. And there are some that are built in. Specifically in this case, Control-Alt-T will start up a terminal emulator. T for terminal, makes sense. The default terminal that gets started up is 80 columns wide and 25 lines long. And if you have anything in the region of a modern computer, say within the last 10 or 20 years, an 80 by 25 text window is tiny. Most desktop displays are big enough that 80 by 25 takes up a small portion of the screen. Personally, I have a 32-inch 2K display. I got that because I needed a 2K display at home for one of my jobs. And at 2K, smaller than 32 inches is hard for me to see. My vision could be better, let's say, put it that way. But the 80 by 25 terminal, I could fit, well, let's see, how many could I fit? Almost 9 of them on my screen. I have my default terminal window set up to be considerably wider and considerably longer. My standard window in this arrangement is 110 columns wide and 72 lines long. And since I love the command line, I like being able to see the last 72 lines of console display that showed up. You can play with that. If you want to, in the terminal command bar at the top, the file edit view terminal, blah, 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 under edit, there's one called preferences. And under preferences, there are some tabs, general, appearance, colors, compatibility. You click on the appearance tab, and about halfway down, there's a default geometry, which is still 80 by 25. Interesting. That's rather strange. I must have modified the command itself so that it automatically brings up 110 by 72. That's probably because of the keystroke shortcut I use. And you can modify them from what they are by default to whatever you like. So you have infinite flexibility, which you really didn't like the idea of because that's way more than you were curious about at this point. And if not, we can go into that a little bit later. Probably not this episode. So I bring up a terminal window, and there is a prompt. My prompt includes the time, and in brackets, my user ID at the name of my host, colon, and the current directory I'm in, space, outside the brackets, dollar sign. This means a great many things, but the most important piece of it is the dollar sign. What that means is that in this terminal interface, you are acting as yourself or an other ordinary user. If you want to become the super user or the root user, which is the system administrator that has a lot more power in terms of what it can do without having to ask, then your prompt should end with a pound sign, the number sign. That is one easy way to tell if you're running as root or if you're running as a user. Typically, in most Linux distributions, when you log in, you're running as your user. In fact, logging in as the root user is generally not permitted. And that's a good idea for security purposes because if you can log in as the root user, your system can be hacked. If someone guesses your root user password, they can log in. There are other security measures you can take to make sure this isn't that easy to do, and it's a good idea. Where are we? We have a terminal window open, and we're at the command line, and the command line has a prompt. So you type in a command, and away you go. Okay, what command are you going to type in? What can you do with the command you're going to type in? Last time we looked at cp --help. That's one way to look at it. We're going to look more closely at options and parameters today. But first, don't you love that expression? I'm listening to the sales broadcast. But first, and then you get a half an hour more before they even start to address what you were interested in. And then there's another but first in there somewhere. However, in this case, before we do that, we're going to look at a few things. I'm going to type in cp --help again, and there's a screenful of information. I'll call it that because to the average beginner's eyes, the average layman's eyes, it's gobbledygook. And it's a whole screenful, and it doesn't even start at the beginning. There's so much there, I have to scroll back up a few lines to see the entire help. Now, is that really useful? Maybe. I would prefer and suggest that you use the man command. So we'll say man space cp enter. Man is the command, cp is the parameter, enter means do it. The man pages are paged automatically, so it will show you one screenful and then wait for you to tell it to go on. You can press enter to go one line further, page to go a screen further or to the end if there isn't a whole screenful left. You can press H for help or Q to quit. Now, why would you display the first page of a man page and then quit? Maybe it's got all the information you need right there. But let's look at this. And the reason I want to look at this is to talk about the options. Options, as I've said before, are switches, command line switches that tell the command, do something this way, not the way you thought you were going to do it. I don't remember what all the defaults are for the CP command, so I'm just going to go through some of these. It does say that its description is copy source to dest, which is destination, or multiple sources to directory. Mandatory arguments to long options are mandatory for short options too, which means if you specify an option that requires an argument to it, and this is why we use arguments here and parameters for the parameters to the command, because there's a fine distinction. Technically, as I've said before, arguments are anything you type on the command line after the command. Arguments to options are specific types of arguments that only apply to that option. Long options can have arguments. Short options can too. A lot of short options don't. Short options are the ones where you specify minus and one letter. One of the nice things about short options is that if they don't require parameters, or excuse me, if they don't require arguments, you can string them all together as one single option. So a few of these. Dash A or minus A is the same as the long option dash dash archive, which says same as minus little d capital R dash dash preserve equals all. Perfect example right at the top. Dash d capital R means apply the option that dash d is, which is same as no dereferences and preserve links. What that means is do not follow symbolic links. Remember, symbolic links are entries in a directory that point to some other file somewhere else. They are pointers, which means they don't directly reference the file. It tells whatever command is trying to access that application or that file, go through this reference point and then go over here to find the file. And you can have broken symbolic links where the destination file isn't there anymore because maybe you moved it. Maybe you moved it to a different directory because you wanted to reorganize your files. I reorganized a lot of my files over the weekend. I was beginning to fill up two of my larger hard drives and I didn't want to do that. And I had gobs of empty space on my home drive. So I moved some that made sense to that were pointed to from a home directory. They now actually live in the directory on the home drive. I can talk about that again some of the time. I've covered this before. No dereference means don't follow symbolic links, and preserve equals links means if I copy this file and this file has links to other files, these are hard links. A hard link is another name by which the file can, the single file can be known. For example, I have a downloads directory. I upload and download everything through my downloads directory. It simplifies access through the browser because the browser doesn't need to know anywhere else to look except the downloads directory. So if I want to copy a file to someone else, I want to send it to them in email, for example, I go to the directory where the file lives, where it's real, quote-unquote real, where its main location is, and I say link this to my downloads directory. Now, you can't hard link directories at all. What that means is it tells the link command, ln, in case you want to look it up, it's an interesting command, tells the link command to create a hard link from this file for this file. Let's call it file b.txt. Create a hard link to it in my downloads directory. So now there will be an entry in my downloads directory that's capital B.txt. It's the same file as the one that's in my documents slash text directory, but I can access it from either place. It's the same file. So what? What that means is there are two links to that file. It can be accessed through either one. In the dash little d option to copy CP, dash dash preserve equals links means if there's a hard link to it, preserve that link. So you don't actually wind up copying the file. It makes a new hard link at the destination where you wanted the copy to land. Dash capital R is recursive. What that means is if you are copying from directory A to directory B, it means copy everything in directory A, whether they are files or subdirectories, and all files in the subdirectories. Recursive means chase them all the way down to the bottom. So that is what it does. And the second option that dash A or dash dash archive includes is dash dash preserve all. Preserve does not have a short list. Dash little p includes preserve and two other options. Well, it includes several preserve options. Dash dash preserve requires arguments that are an attribute list. It says which attributes to preserve. The default is file mode, meaning whether you can read or write it and who can read or write it. Ownership, if I own the file, I own the copy. And timestamps, meaning if I copy a file that I made 6 months ago to another directory, it'll show up in that directory as having been modified 6 months ago because that's the attribute of the file. Additional attributes include context, links, xadder, and all. Links is the one we were interested in here. Specifying links means that the other attributes, mode, ownership, and timestamps, are not necessarily included in this copy because you didn't specify them. You just said dash D, which means no dereference and preserve links. That's probably enough on options. Dash T, which is synonymous dash dash target directory, equals directory. You have to supply a directory as an argument to this long option, dash dash target dash directory. But if you use dash T, you still have to supply the argument for the directory. Arguments for long options are generally separated from the option itself by an equal sign, meaning here's the long option equals here's the attribute or the argument that must accompany it. For single letter options, the short options, the separator is a space. If you specify dash T equals directory, I actually don't know what that'll do. I've never tried it. Probably it will tell you the command is malformatted. And I don't want to do that at this time. There you have it, the long of command line options. The command and the parameters are fairly obvious. The parameters are what you need to pass in to make the command do something to something. In the CP command, it's a file and a destination. A file or a directory and a destination, which can be a file for a file, a directory for a directory, or a number of files. Isn't that easy? Tell me it's easy. Tell me you laughed when I said that, or you went, oh, yeah, that does kind of make sense. Let me know what you think. Send me an email. Provide feedback. Do something if you want something else addressed. I trust that you enjoyed this. I hope I supplied enough humor. I'm not sure I did, but I'm going to presume I did. And my deepest apologies for waiting so long for this episode. I thought I'd done one 2 weeks ago, and when I looked back, the last one was a month ago. And I don't feel that's right. You deserve better service, and I deserve to spill my guts more often. So we'll take it, and hopefully I will have another episode in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Tell your friends about it if you found this useful. Tell your friends about it if you didn't find this useful. Maybe they will anyway. My coffers are open. I accept contributions. I don't require them. I do appreciate them. And I am grateful you were here. Thank you very much. See you on the next episode. Bye for now.